I've been trying to finish a message for 3 weeks. This is my third week. And so we're going to just continue on. Amen. And so I'm going to repeat a couple things from last week, just so we get in our mind and our heart attitude. Ephesians 2, verses 5 to 6, I'll read them very quickly. Even when we were dead in trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does that do to you? When we read that scripture, what does it mean to you? It should bring a level of excitement and a level of joy. Otherwise, we just think the Bible, the verses, well, they're just there. No, they're actually alive. It's the living Word of God, not the dead Word of God. It's not just new covenant and no old covenant. No, the old covenant was all through what the kingdom principles are. Absolutely. And people say, well, no, it was pre-new covenant. No. That means God's changed. But he's never changed yesterday, today, and forever. But the way you and I or the Israelites had to get to the presence of God, that changed from old covenant to new covenant. But the rules, the structures of the kingdom didn't change just for the year 2018. They didn't change just for the people that have grown up in a culture of extreme electronics or me culture. They haven't changed. The structure hasn't changed. The rainbow is the promises of God. It hasn't changed, no matter what anyone else puts on it. The rainbow is the promise of God that he will not destroy or flood this earth again. It's the promises of God. It doesn't change. You can have whatever people say what they want about a rainbow, but the rainbow is the same. It's what my Bible says. My Bible is very clear, and I like clarity. Amen? So when we read scriptures like this, that we are raised up together and God made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that should actually bring an excitement. It should bring a joy into our hearts. It should bring an authority, a power of an identity, so we're not in a crisis, but we're actually released in freedom. It's an amazing thing. Listen. Even when we were dead in trespasses, even when you were dead, even when you did not understand, or you were messed up in your own theology, or you were messed up in your own sinful lust or sinful nature, even then, God made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together. Even in our trespasses, God's rules and structures didn't change. Like so many people say, you know, I'm a sinner, and I just can't get what everything God wanted me to get. I want to look at you and say, quit lying to yourself. That's the devil speaking to you. That's not what my Bible says. While you were in sin, God still had a purpose and a principle. And the purpose and the principle was that he had raised you into heavenly places through Christ Jesus our Lord. That you would be seated with him. You would be seated in the kingdom of heaven. Even in your sin, God didn't change. He didn't say, you know what? Because you did this, you don't get high places. No, that's bad theology if you believe that. Because you've done something wrong gives you the option to find the joy of the Lord to become your strength, so you quit doing the wrongs and step into the rights. While you're in your sin, you're not in heavenly places. No, but the heavenly places are still there with your name sitting on them. It's just waiting for you to realize, whoa, my past doesn't take me out. My past becomes power of testimony to strengthen me. Yeah, but I've been a drug addict. I've been a murderer. I don't care what you've been. God didn't say, you know what? If you were a drug addict, you don't get heavenly high places. No. No matter what your sin is or has ever been, the heavenly high places through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, take us from miry clay and place us on streets of gold.
Well, no streets of gold in the world.
No, but you know what? I'm not talking about high places in Europe. I'm talking about the high places in his kingdom. Because you want to go somewhere in the world? You want to be big and famous in the world? Lose the thought of fame and go after the famous one. Because when you go after the famous one, he makes you famous. He makes us famous. It's not you. It's not me. It's not your past. It's him. Jesus' eyes, they were fixed on something beyond the cross. He wasn't looking at the cross. You know, I talked a long time the two Sundays ago and last Sunday on this because I just believe it's so applicable for today. Your eyes, if they're fixed on present issues, let me tell you what. Your eyes are looking at the wrong place. Our eyes have to be fixed beyond present issues. And then when we fix our eyes on him and his kingdom, then we have the ability to fix the present issues. But without our eyes focused on the true one, then we try to fix them with our own mindset. And in our own mindset, you don't have favor. You don't have blessing. You will have competition. And you will jockey for positions. And you'll get very offended when people don't agree with you. I've watched people get so passionate about something that they want to do. And when somebody says, you know, I'm not really into that, it's like, you're a devil worshiper. No, I'm just not passionate with what you're carrying. But I am passionate with what God carries. And when you're carrying God, no matter what he says, oh, I can get passionate with that. Very passionate with that. So Jesus' eyes, he was fixed beyond the cross. He was actually looking at you. He's looking at me. He was looking through the camera lens to the people on Facebook and the people on YouTube and everywhere else this thing goes. He's looking at them. And when he was going to the cross and through this joy of the Lord in him, he was able to accomplish and overpower and overcome every trial, every temptation, every whipping on his back. He was able to overcome the pain that he endured on the cross because he was looking to bring sons and daughters back to his father. Because he didn't want to be the only son. He wanted sons and daughters of this earth back to his father. And I tell you, we have to look past. Oh, I got a headache today. Get rid of it. Yeah, but you know what? I'm so sleepy, I can't get up and go to church. Get rid of that mindset. If I used that mindset, I wouldn't be here either.
Yeah, but you're the preacher.
Right. I travel internationally. You go fly off to Russia. Get there completely jet lagged. Your body doesn't have a clue what time of day it is. And you got to get up and preach 3 times per day. You try it.
Oh, give me a chance.
I've had young ministers travel with me. And they look at me and they say, where do you get this energy from? They want to stay in the hotel. I'm like, good night, you're half my age. Where do you get this energy from? Well, I know exactly where I get it from. It's not pills. It's not things of this world. It's things from the kingdom of God that want to change this world. And it will give us the energy. It will give us the drive if we choose to have the passion. But you got to choose it. We've been reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. He's not, what's reconciled? If a son is reconciled to the father, the father's not sitting there saying, oh man, son, you know what? I remember 23 years ago when you did this and it really hurt me. And 12 years ago, you did this to your mom and it really... That's not reconciled. A reconciled son is like the father and the wayward son, and that father ran to the top of the hill every day. I bet he said, I bet his some of his servants, maybe his older son, looked at him and said, Dad, he's not coming home. What on earth are you doing? You're wasting your day. Every day you run to the top of the hill. You're wasting your day on the kid. The kid has squandered his wealth. He's taken everything, his whole inheritance, and he squandered it. You know, and the servants are probably, hey, you know what? I mean, I like my master, but the reality is he's like loco for this boy. The boy's eating with the pigs for crying out loud. He's lost his whole inheritance. He has no friends. He has nobody. Are you crazy? But the father didn't run down in the pig pen and pull him out. The father went. Why? Because he was looking beyond the boy's cross. He was looking beyond his own son's cross. He was looking beyond his own pain and his own cross that he was carrying. And he believed that that wayward son was going to be a returning child of God. Nehemiah 8, verse 10, the second part of 10. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, my goodness. How do I make it through the day? Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. I feel so weak. Where did you leave the joy?
Yeah, but when I'm sad, how do I have joy?
Joy overpowers sadness. We're just looking the wrong direction. We got it kind of worldly mindset. And we need to get rid of the worldly mindset.
Yeah, well, I have a right to be sad. You know what has happened to me?
You have a right to mourn, but you don't have a right to be sad. You can mourn for your loved ones. You can mourn for them, the lost ones in your life, ones that have been taken away. I know a brother that was taken away way too early in his life. And you have the right to mourn, absolutely. But you don't have the right to lose your joy. Oh, come on, Brent, that's just, you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. I've lost my mom. I've lost my dad. I've lost loved ones. I know. I had 7 friends in grade 11 all die. I understand the loss in the morning. I do.
Well, you're insensitive.
No, I just found something better than sadness. I found something that Jesus was walking in. I found something that King David, well, before he was a king, was walking in. I found something that Solomon got. I found something that these great men and women of the scriptures that they got. And it was the joy of the Lord is my strength.
People sometimes say, Brent, you're insensitive to the political environment. You're insensitive to, you know, to my pain and my sorrow. I am not. I have wept for this country, and I weep every day. It's my nation. But I will tell you one thing. God knows exactly who's leading it. And on the way to church today, my wife and I, we always pray. Or if our kids are with us, we always pray. We pray for the service. We pray for every one of you on our way every single Sunday here. But I want to tell you something. We prayed for our Prime Minister, Trudeau. We prayed for the godly structure this country was built on. Am I in agreement with some of the decisions that are being made? I think they're foolish. I think we need to stand up and be a voice, absolutely. And I thank even Catherine Sobko, who felt it so strong that she went after it in a political realm. I thank the Lord for people like Fatine Grassetti. She's going after it in a political realm. That's her call. That's the passion in her life. And we need to support people's passions, absolutely. You know what, though? I also want to raise up in this family the next Prime Minister of Canada. I want to raise up our premiers. I want people to raise up in the churches and the local ministries, the leaders of this country and nation. You say, oh, Brent, good night. Your vision's too big. No, actually, it's not big enough. It's not big enough. Yeah, just point it a little towards me. Front row doesn't need it, just here. Let it blow. Let it blow. Oh, I might come one Sunday and it's short, so you just wait. I've been processing it a lot. This could go to patients of cancer that have no hair. That's totally fine. They let them have the anointing for a while. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? If I cut it and it went to a wig and the person grew their own hair, could you imagine?
Here's your hair back, Brent.
Okay, thank you. Let's give it to another sick person. But you see, our society or even our religious mindsets.
What did you just say, Brent? That your hair has more anointing than mine?
I'm looking at some of your hair and I'd say yes. Quit rubbing your head, Ed. Quit rubbing your head. Hey, can we believe that might heal somebody?
Oh, you're prideful.
No, 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 I'm just following the word of God. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When anyone ever comes to me, Bruno, I need to meet with you. I need counseling. Why?
Because I feel so weak and burnt out. I'm like, well, why don't you just find joy and then you don't need counsel? Amen.
Sorry.
Oh, we'd save a lot of hours, wouldn't we? Because it would be better to actually have coffees together, talking about the testimony of God in our lives. And you know, can you imagine if we sat and we had a Starbucks together and it was like you just converted and got saved from Tim Hortons? Can you imagine if we were sitting in there in a Starbucks and I'm like, yeah, you wanted to meet? And they're like, yeah, I just got to tell you, my right leg is completely healed. I just led 15 people to Jesus in the last 2 weeks. Can you imagine? I'm like, oh, 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 the anointing is at Starbucks. I get on Facebook Live. But instead, you try bringing a Timmy's into Starbucks and everyone's offended. Just kidding. You can drink whatever coffee you want. Doesn't matter. The donuts are good at Timmy's, so I will say that. When you travel internationally, I have not found one country that makes donuts as good as Tim Hortons. So I'll just be honest with you with that. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we go into some Latin American countries that what they use their oven for is the storing of their pots and pans. And then someone brings me a nice a donut. Brent, I brought you a special donut, and I break a tooth trying to I'm just kidding. No, it's not true. You see, we got to have our priorities in the right places. Because if our priorities aren't in the right places, then they're in the wrong places. It's either right or wrong. You know that lukewarm middle area is not going to exist in this world today. It's a reality, not in the kingdom of God. You're either for me or you're against me. And if you're lukewarm, you're against. Well, you know what? I've been a lukewarm Christian most of my life from years ago, not recently. I grew up in lukewarm, beautiful denomination, great denomination. We'll celebrate together in heaven, absolutely. But I can't just do denominationalism. I can't just live a life that has passion by word but not by heart. I just can't do that. Drives me nuts. I gotta have passion that's a choice. To drive my heart. Amen. I'm not expecting my heart to find passion. I'm expecting to know that God is a passionate God. And he's a lover of my soul. He loves my soul so much he died. He sent his son Jesus to die for it. Oh my goodness. That is worth camping out on right there. When we become people that drink of this joy in its fullness. I'm not talking about a little sip of joy on a Sunday morning. That's kind of like a wine toddler thing, little sip, you know, a tasting room. Ah, in the kingdom of God, I'm going for the full barrel. I'm tired of this tasting, you know. We just can't live a life of a little sip once every 6 months. I like Charlie Robinson, I'm going for the full barrel. Every day, I'm going to fill it in the river, and I'm going to drink, 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 drink.
Well, you're a glutton.
I am a glutton. If that's what a glutton is, that's what I am.
Well, you're just a little too charismatic for me,
and I'm not charismatic enough. I tell you, I am tired of what people think of me. Actually, it's none of my business what your opinion of me is. It's none of my business. It is of my leaders that speak into my life, but your opinion of me, I don't need to hear. It's none of my business. Hear that, Facebook? Twitter and tweeting and twapping and twicking or twitching or I don't know what it all is. When we become people that drink of this joy, it is fullness, in its fullness. Hallelujah. We can pass through testing and sacrifice when it feels like God has turned his face from us. He hasn't turned his face from us. He has turned his face to us. If we find joy in our struggles, if we find joy in our giving, if we find joy in our alarm clock going off to get us to get up to work, find joy that, thank God, I have a job. If you don't like your job, keep your job, but find another one and praise the Lord that it's going to be better than the one you have. Then you can let go of your job. But this whole thing of I'm giving up my job and I'm going to sit on EI and I'm going to do nothing and I'm going to go to welfare, that is not the kingdom lifestyle. Welfare is there for people that truly need it. Amen. It's not a culture of kingdom. It's called the culture of feeding the widows and the orphans. That's the culture of welfare in the kingdom of God. And I'm happy to pay into that. When we pass through testings and sacrifice, we have to realize that whenever there's a testing in front of you, if there's a sacrifice of your time to get up and come to church, if there's a sacrifice in your time to get on your knees and pray, if there's a sacrificing of time, it is not a sacrifice. It is actually an act of obedience that brings joy into our life. This whole thing, you know, so many people cut out what their busy lifestyles. What are they going to cut out first? Let me tell you. They're going to cut out food. No. They're going to cut out their cell bill. No, I can't live without my cell. They're going to cut out 280 channels out of the 350 they have on TV. No, they're going to take their Wi-Fi from 150 down to 2 or 1. Or how about go back to dial-up modem? Let's cut that out. No. What are they going to cut out? They're going to cut out their nice car. They're going to go back to a jalopy that they actually can pay in cash $150 for and get it. Your insurance is cheaper as well. No. What does an average person cut out? The number one usual meetings I used to have was, Brent, I have to cut out a little bit more of the church. I'm just too busy and too stressed out. I'm like, really? What is making you so busy? Well, you know, I have one kid and it just takes too much time. Really? So what are we teaching our children? Oh yeah, that's right. Cut God out whenever you're stressed. What are we teaching our children? Oh yeah, cut God out whenever you're in a trial or tribulation. We're teaching them an antichrist teaching, which I'm here to say, I am not into antichrist. I am into preaching the word of God. And you can all say, well, hold it, you're the preacher, you're the pastor, you're just trying to bend our arm. Actually, I'm not bending your arm, I give you boots. If you want that, that's no problem. Just turn the cameras off so it's your word against my word, and I'm just kidding. No, of course I wouldn't do that. But I want to give the bad spirits a boot. Amen. I want to have a family environment that actually searches and seeks out truth. Amen. So they can be set free. Amen. And not held in bondage. Because truth sets us free. Joy in the times of trouble is an important secret for people who seek the face of God. Difficult moments are actually God's invitation to enter into greater power and intimacy. Difficult moments in your life are actually God's invitation of saying, hey, I want you to draw into me more and more and more. Let me be your resource, says the Lord. Well, then you're going to say, I'm sure I'm going to get some emails or whatever. So you're saying God has put the bad problems on my lives? God's sovereignty is, he can do whatever he actually wants to do. My theology of him isn't going to change who he is. So however that season has come into your life, I'm going to tell you this. God will use it for the power of testimony, whether the devil brought it or he allowed it. God will use it for the power of testimony in your life. And he's looking for the people that are willing to go after the joy of his Lord, of the Lord of Jesus Christ. And joy of the Lord is our strength. He's looking for the people that are willing to literally believe and commit in their life to follow and pursue at all costs. We live in a time where the face of God is being revealed to us in the pouring out of his Holy Spirit. How many of you know both Joel and Acts prophesy, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh? Well, I will guarantee you today has more of his spirit poured out on us than it did yesterday. And I'm going for the more, and I'm not going for yesterday. I'm going for more, more, more. Every day, every Sunday, every week, every month, I am after the more. And if you don't want the more, find another group of family to hang with. But this one's going after more. Amen. There is no limit to what is possible for one person. How much more do we get? There's no limit. God nowhere in Scripture said, well, actually, you know, on July 1st, Canada Day 2018, I'm only going to give you 1% more. You realize there's no scriptural reference anywhere in that book that says you're limited by God on your ability.
Yeah, but I'm just like 80 years old.
Hey, praise the Lord. You got 80 years of amazing, powerful testimony. Yeah, but I'm just an assembly line worker. Praise God. Anoint every part you put together. But I'm just a single mom. Praise God. At this moment in time, that's where you're at. I pray that that man in shining armor is going to ride his horse right up to your door one day. And you won't be living as a single mom or a single dad. You mean I could get remarried? Absolutely! Oh, no. Now that's opened up a can of worms. So I can get divorced? No, you can't. I can just choose another wife? No, you can't. The one you're married to is the one for you. And you're called to stick it out and find the solutions to make the marriage work. I'm pro-marriage. John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. John 14, starting in verse 12. And Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. But he doesn't end there. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask a little thing, no, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That word believe is pistel. It means to have faith to entrust, especially in one's spiritual well-being to Christ. It means believe and commit to trust. Believe and commit to trust. So many of us camp out on believe.
Well, I'm a believer.
Well, what you're saying then is you've committed to trust everything in the hands of God. That's what you're saying. No. I believe that God was God, but I have to kind of make my own path on this. You know, the old expression. You know,
you got to make your own road in this thing called life. You know, if you don't do it, who's going to do it for you? Get out and get it done. You're going to make your own success. Let me tell you something. It's actually not true.
The truth of the kingdom is that he has called us to become successful. But the most successful part of the kingdom is intimacy and relationship with the Father. And through the intimacy of the relationship with the Father, then I guarantee you, no matter what you do, it's going to have success attached to it. In the time of difficult times, you will be successful. When other people are losing the money, you, with the kingdom principles in your life, will be making money. I guarantee this is the principles of God. That doesn't mean you're going to make what you think you're going to make or what you want to make. It's going to be what God says you make. One of the reasons we're a giving church, we're a tithing church, we battle the thing, oh, you know, tithing's not old covenant. And no, it's not. It's actually pre-old covenant. Tithing is part, and 10%, if you really want to stick out on new covenant, sell everything and give it to here. Keep your clothes, though, please. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. You see, it's not about you being glorified. It's that you will glorify the Father through everything that you and I do. So if the glory is not going to the Father, then it's very self-motivated. The
Bible guides and directs us to what is actually made available to us. The timing of this access is to believe and commit to trust now. Is to believe and commit to trust God now. That's what it is. That's how we increase the access. That's how we increase the favor. That's how we increase the blessings. That's how we increase the living and the joy in our lives. Is we believe and commit now everything to Jesus Christ. Everything. Your wayward son, commit them to Jesus. If he's 40 years old and he's your wayward son, don't be going over them and trying to spank him anymore. It just doesn't work. We have to commit them to Jesus and then live such a godly example of life that your sons and daughters will cry out, I want to be like my mama. I want to be like my daddy. There are no limiting boundaries in the Bible for our access. Nowhere in the scripture does it limit the boundaries of access to you in his kingdom. Nowhere. There's no limiting boundaries. The only limiting boundary that you could pull out of scripture is if you're unsaved. But the boundaries are still open for you there. You just live in a moment of sin that you don't know the boundaries are still open. Every sinner out there has open boundaries for him to access the kingdom of God. They just don't know it yet. And they need to be told that Jesus Christ took the veil away and he's opened up to every person on the face of this earth to step in and have unlimited boundaries through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we have unlimited access. We have unlimited access. We as Christians should be the happiest, most joyful people. We should have the strongest, most joyful marriages. We as Christians should have finances that meet all the needs. Maybe they don't meet everything you want, but they meet all the needs and beyond. We as Christians should not have a higher divorce rate than the unsaved. We as Christians should not be contending for marijuana. I don't know why I thought of that, but I thought, hey, maybe we could be a marijuana church. Imagine that. We would all be visions. Please, someone's going to cut that out and paste it on Facebook.
See what the long-haired guy says?
I'm against marijuana. But I'm also against excessive drinking, excessive drugs, excessive food. A little excessive food is fine, but not too much. We just have to believe and commit to trust Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. How do you even complete your faith without Jesus? Can't. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. It's all saying you can't do it on your own. It's all saying we need him. We need him. Him, big H, him. It's time to advance the unlimited boundaries. We have to live a lifestyle of advancing the kingdom because the kingdom has no boundaries. The fullness of the glory of God would kill us, of course, but God has made available to each of us whatever our bodies can handle, which right now is more. I guarantee you, if we saw his full glory, we would probably not survive it physically. But I do know one thing. I could survive more than I have now. I know I could survive more. But we have to look for the more. We have to look for the increase. We're born to live in the glory of God. Not man's glory, but glory of God. How do we find God's glory? Pursue God with reckless passion, reckless and abandoned joy, and at the same time, we rest in him. We have to rest in God. Well, what does that look like? What's the resting in God look like? Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. How do we find it? Well, survive the day. It's not just surviving. It's living this day. Knowing that tomorrow morning, when I wake up, an increase of joy. And knowing that Tuesday morning when I wake up, there's an increase of joy over Monday. Psalms chapter 46, verse 10.
Be still and know that I am God. How do we be still? Find the joy of the Lord for our strength. The joy comes in the morning. And be still and know that I am God. I will exalt among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. That word still has so many meanings in the root word. One of them is quiet enough to passionately see. Quiet enough to passionately see. Be still. Just let the raging stresses of this earth, let the pains of past history, let the abusive thoughts in your mind, just let them go and be still. Just find the passion in you and focus it on Him, on God, on Jesus, on Holy Spirit. Be still and know that I am God. Because in those still times, those passionate focused times, in the quiet times of His presence, it means still as well. Like just still, be slow, slow down. Oh, God, do this, God, do that, God, do that, God, do that. Less coffee. I got a list to accomplish today. I got to get it all done. Being still in the presence of God before every day of work. Even a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Imagine, just set your alarm 30 minutes earlier. I can't do that. Then go for 15. Set your alarm 5 minutes early and start the day in the stillness of His voice. In the stillness of His presence, where you're passionately looking for Him. I will guarantee you, if you truly focus in that every morning for a few minutes, your day's gonna look different. It will look different. Because in those still moments is when God does something with us and we do something with Him. And then He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. He's going to go forth from your intimate moments with Him and your still times in His presence. Through us, God will be exalted among the nations. It's implying that without us, He won't. Oh, no, well, God will always be. No, 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 no. When the trumpet sounds, everybody will know. Jesus' return, everybody will know. But it's our duty to make everybody know now. So Jesus just comes for His bride, which is all this earth. It is a privilege to spend time with God. The more time we spend, the better. The King and His kingdom is all that we need. In Psalm 63:1, the second part, David said, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Do you understand what David must have felt, what he understood about God? That his longing, literally, his soul thirsts for God. And his flesh literally longed. Everything fleshy in him longed for God. Oh, my goodness. We need to be so drenched in God's presence through a lifestyle of worship. And what we did this morning, I call that praise. We praise God. Worship isn't a slow song. Well, praise is fast songs and worship is slow songs. No, 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 no. We're actually to sing out of a lifestyle of a worshiper. It's a lifestyle. It's not the speed or tempo of a song. That's called tempo. Worship is a lifestyle. David wasn't only a worshiper when he danced and his clothes came off. He was a worshiper when he killed the lions and the bears and he watched over the father's sheep. He learned a lifestyle of kingdom living and kingdom dwelling, which brought him great, great fame, great, great fortune, and great, great wealth. He didn't do it for those reasons. He did it because he had a heart after worship with his Father. It's absolutely critical that we take time with God in our busy lives. The center of a Christian life is passion for God. It's not like my center of my marriage is when I said I do. No, that was the start. Step uno. One. Heaven is open, and that allows us to increase in passion. Let's all stand. But we have to have passion for the increase. The increase is around us. Heaven's gates are already open. But you have to have passion for the increase. That means that if you truly have passion for the increase, when two or more gathered in his name, he is here with us. That guaranteed, if we truly have passion for increase, then you will receive increase today. And when you walk out those doors after the service, you will have increase beyond what you came in with. That's passion. Passion defines the unlimited access and boundaries we create in our own life. How do you have unlimited access? Passion. What boundaries are set before you? Well, if you have boundaries in your life, it'll be from lack of passion, because passion takes the boundaries away. I had passion. The word of the Lord spoke to Sharon and me and to go into full-time ministry in 1989. And in 1996, we sailed away with our two kids, Samantha and Justin at that time. Sam wasn't even 2 years old. Justin was 4 months old. When we sailed out from Mission, British Columbia, we actually made the front page newspaper of the Mission Times. Big picture, I still have a copy. It's my fame and fortune right there, of us sitting on our sailboat. Crazy family. No, I'm just kidding. Called by God to go into the world. And people looked at me and said, "You are nuts. You're in the prime of your business success. You are crazy." I said, "Oh, I'm passionate." There's a big difference. Passion makes you look crazy to non-passionate people, but passion makes you look normal to kingdom people. That's it. And we sailed off 5.5 days later. We end up in San Francisco after we had 70 plus knots of storm and wind. 5 souls were lost in that storm. Boats sank. Boats were destroyed. And here we are, not a 4-month-old Justin and a not quite 2-year-old Samantha. And we're out there in 30 plus foot seas in the Pacific Ocean, hunkering down. And what am I doing? I'm up on the deck for 5.5 days, nonstop. Couldn't sleep. I had a 15-minute timer. I could power nap for 15 minutes. But I knew that 20 minutes, a ship could run into me. And so I had to only sleep 15 minutes. And here we are. We heard the waves coming. Oh, I heard the waves. I know the size of that Pacific Ocean. What's my wife doing? She's downstairs on gravel, breastfeeding Justin, so he's sleeping. Sam came up one time. She straps on her. She's not quite 2 years old. Strap her onto her lifeline, into the boat, and she sat up there, and some of her words were, "Daddy, where's the bucket?" Oh, thank you, Lord, for the passion that you've given to me right now. A freighter gets a hold of us. He's sitting out there. 150 miles, we were offshore, trying to get out of the Pacific swell so we wouldn't get smashed into the rocks of the Oregon coast, the graveyard of the Pacific. And this freighter's out there, and he's is that a sailboat out here on Channel 16? Who's the sailboat out here? This is the Angelos. We're the Pacific 40 sailboat sloop. Are you the freighter out here? He said, "What the bleep bleep are you doing out here?" So I said, "Well, what are you doing out here?" I didn't. They had been for a day and a half just protecting the tanker freighter, because the waves were so big they couldn't go straight into them anymore, or the thing will split. When there's no water in the middle, the things will just collapse from the tonnage. It had to be displaced into the water. And so they're literally rolling side to side trying to keep the freighter safe. And here we are. Day after day. Then the storm broke. And I called Sharon and the kids out on the deck. I have video of it. VHS. Hundreds of dolphins. We're on autopilot. But you see, I built the boat strong. I built the autopilot system twice as big as I needed for the boat, so it steered itself through all the violent seas. Because I had passion, I wanted to do it right, and I wanted to do it safe, and God gave me the understanding for it. And we survived that storm, and then we're out on the deck, and the sun is shining as we're making our way towards San Francisco, and there's hundreds of dolphins, and they're just, it's like SeaWorld. They're just jumping and flipping and dancing and chirping, and they would come up beside the bow of the boat and play in the wave, and their eyes would look into my eyes, and I just felt the presence of God. I'll be honest with you. If you don't have passion, and I want to ask you, are you saved? Listen to me, please. Listen to my heart. If you've lost your passion, are you sure you still have salvation?
Oh, what are you saying? Once a Christian, always a Christian, or you can lose your salvation. I don't care what theology you camp out. Live in such a life, you don't have to have that theology.
Because passion defines the unlimited access, but it also defines the boundaries that we create in our lives, and I'm going for no boundaries in His kingdom. You find yourself way too busy for church or too busy for God-centered things, then your true passion will be what you do not eliminate in your schedules. If your schedules overpower God things, I'll tell you where your passion is. It's in everything that you do not eliminate, but you eliminate God. If you eliminate Christ-centered functions first and keep non-Christ-centered functions in your life, then I ask you the question, is your Christian life passionate for God, or do you have other passions dictating your Christian life? It's time to be still and know that He is God. Song of Solomon, I'll close with this, chapter 2, verse 4. The Shulamite to the daughters of Jerusalem. He brought me to the banqueting house. Some translations say table, but it's actually the true word would be house. Closer to house than table. He brought me to the banqueting house. What does that mean? He brought me to a family that wants to be in a banquet. And His banner, His flag, His victory is flying over me. He brought you into this house this morning for a reason, because the banner of victory is flying over this house. Welcome home. Welcome to the family. That's why He brought you here. Because He wants His banner to fly. Let me give you Brent Borthwick's paraphrase of the Song of Solomon. Because the implication of house, banqueting is yayan, that's the word. It's effervescence, this is what it means, banqueting. Effervescence, wine has fermented very well. By implication, intoxication. House is, the word is bayit, and its root meaning is family. So let me give you Brent Borthwick's paraphrase of He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. I'm going to give you the root word, the root meaning that I interpret it to be. He brought me to the intoxicating wine of family. And his victory flag over me and my family is L-O-V-E, love. Listen, family is intoxicating. When you have a good family gathering, it's intoxicating. It's better than any booze you could drink. It's intoxicating. He brought us here this morning to the intoxicating wine of family. And his victory flag over this house, over me and all my family in this place is love. That's the reality of it. Father, I pray for the intoxication of your spirit. I'm tired of being dry. I will not live a dry life. I'm going to live a drunk life in the presence of God. That is not alcohol. That is the drinking of the intoxicating wine of the Holy Spirit. What do you think alcohol is a counterfeit of? The true spirit. We even call it spirits. It's not. It's the wrong spirits. The true spirit is the intoxicating wine of family in his presence. That's how revival lives. It's where revival stays, is in an intoxicating presence of family. And I ask you today, Father, if anyone in this house, anyone listening right now on TV, if anyone at all feels that they're not intoxicated enough in family, then I ask right now, Lord, take every barrier down in their life, every wall that they've built. And I feel like the Lord is saying, I can't take those down. They built them. They have to knock them down first. And so I ask, Lord, right now for the strength and the power for every one of our lives. If we have created a barrier of offense, if we have created a barrier of unforgiveness, if we've created a barrier of any kind of different theologies, if we've created a barrier that has separated us, I ask, Lord God, that we yank it down now. We give it the boot, take a big boot in the spirit and kick it over. Take the walls down, take the barriers down, because your banner needs to fly over all of us, and it's the banner of victory and love. I ask, Father, even if there's an illness or a sickness, let it be healed right now in Jesus' name. Let the stripes on Jesus' back take every sickness, pain, sickness, and sin out of our lives right now in Jesus' name. Because the banner over us is love. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, we are not going to be passionless. It's interesting. I see flames that were once burnt out. It felt like they were covered over. And it was words that were spoken against some of you. Maybe it was your own thought patterns that you weren't good enough, that you weren't able to do it, that you weren't able to fulfill it, but yet they were prophesied over you, or they were spoken by God into your heart. And those flames, I can see right now, they've been very, very small for a long time, some of them for a short time. Some of them look like they've completely gone out. But let me tell you, the flame of the Holy Spirit never goes out. Passion brings the flame back. Passion is like pouring gasoline or fuel into the flame. In Jesus' name. Are you getting a theme today? It's the passion that we carry. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We sung of his glory. We praised of his word, of his sacrifice that Jesus did for us. We praised about it today. We thanked him in worship, a worship lifestyle in our hearts. Now go into all the world and preach the gospel. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. In your life first, and then in the lives around us, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen.